We've been preaching on the home on Sunday mornings the last 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks, and we're trying to help our church, not just our home. We're trying to help our community. But tonight I want to start, if you would, another series that's going to go hand in hand. And when we quit the one on the home, we'll probably still be continuing on this on the church itself. I want to preach tonight, if I can, on the church. And of the two things that God instituted, of the two things that was so important, He instituted the home first. And then after He instituted the home, He set that as a pattern that He might institute the church, the body of Christ, His bride, us, the believer. And we are important to the Lord. We're so important that He don't leave us to ourselves, as I said a while ago, that He brings us into one body. Now, we might be a separate congregation right here from other churches, but we're still just one body, as I've been trying to teach on Wednesday night. And I want you to understand how important that is that we get that. Now, I'm concerned about our church. I'm concerned about the needs of our church, the people in it. I'm concerned about your needs physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, whatever the need is. I am concerned about you. And we need to be concerned one of another. We ought to look around and see who's missing on Sunday morning. And Sunday nights is usually a little sparse anyway, but we can look around on Sunday morning and know that there's needs. People who used to come, who aren't able to come. People who have chosen not to come. People who have chosen to walk away. And these things trouble me. I don't know if it troubles you, but it troubles me. It troubles the Lord as well. Before we get into the message, I want you to turn to the book of Revelation just for a moment. The book of Revelation. And I want to show you how important it is to the Lord that He would write letters to the pastor of a church. To the messenger of the church. That He would take time out to make sure it's recorded in an eternal word, always preserved, to write about the condition of a local congregation, the body of Christ in local congregation. And I'm not going to read everything. I just want you to notice something. In Revelation chapter 2, if we'll look here just for a moment real quick, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. All right, drop down to verse 8. Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write. Drop down to verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write. Drop down to verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write. All right, chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church of Sardis, write. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. And then in chapter 3 and verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right. Seven letters to local churches, local assemblies, the congregation of God's people, the body that had congregated in these areas that had, of the seven, five had issues. Two he commended, five he said we got issues. And that's pretty well the way it is in church. At least five out of seven have issues. We can pretty well say that when it comes to individuals, maybe even more than that. But I want you to know the importance. So as your pastor, to be concerned about us as a body, then I should be. I should be. I should be concerned about your health physically. I should be concerned about if you're making it all right financially. I should be concerned about your mental state, all right? But I better be concerned about your spiritual state. I need to be concerned about where you're at, what you're doing. I need to be concerned about how your family is and how you're leading your family because I'm going to be held accountable as a pastor. It is my business. It's not something I chose. It's something I was called to do. And as I am your pastor, it is a big responsibility. And I want you to understand that. So when I preach to you, I'm not trying to preach hard or mean. I do preach plain because I don't want you to misunderstand. And I don't have time to explain the preaching. You understand? So if I can get it to you across, if it's a little raw, maybe sometimes it might be, but it's not intended to hurt you. It's intended to help you. So I want to start with this, and we're going to say this every Sunday night for a while. And I want you to think about this. We're going to start with a foundation message. It'll be real simple, something you already know. And it should be a blessing to us to know how important we are. But I want you to think about this first. I want you to say it with me after I say it the first time. I want you to repeat it with me. Everybody listen carefully. Not nothing new. It's no big new quote. Been used many years. But I want you to seriously think about it because I'm going to repeat it for several weeks. Everybody ready? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? All right? I'm going to say it again, then I want us to say it together. Now, what kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Now that's in everything you do, everything you think, how you pray, how you study, how you witness, how you give, how you serve, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children, how you treat your neighbors, how you treat your grandchildren, how you love the church, how you love the Lord. Everything about you, whatever it is about you. Right? If we was all just like you, how would this church be? So let's say it together, can we? You ready? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? That's a thought, ain't it? If everybody was as faithful as me in every aspect of the Word of God, in obedience, if everybody was just exactly like you, exactly like me, huh? If we all walked as close as you walk. If we all done it. So let's say it again and then we'll preach for a moment. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Good thought, ain't it? That's a message all in itself. Let's turn to 1 Timothy just for a moment, if you would. 1 Timothy just for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul's writing to young Timothy here and says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." And this is what we want to look at, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Which is a church of the living God. I want you to know, when you get saved, you're not just saved and set over on a shelf as a whatnot. You are part of the church of the living God. You think about that. You are somebody. You are something. You're not junk. You're not trash. You may be weak. You may seem like you're worthless, but you're not worthless. You're worth so much that God died for you. That God put on a robe of flesh to die in your place. Can I tell you, that's how important you are. Now, He made you special, and He gave you everything that is needed for you to be part of the body, and you alone, nobody can do what you can do for the Lord. Nobody but you can do what you can do for the Lord. Nobody can fill in. No, they may get the limp through, but nobody can take your place. Nobody. Nobody has your talent. Nobody has your mentality. Nobody has your ability. Nobody has nothing you have. You are special, unique. God made you that way to serve in His body, to bring Him glory, and to use you and bless you and make you what He needs you to be. That's how great you are tonight. You understand that? And we're part of the church of the living God. Now you got to be saved to be part of that. Okay? And then when you are, nobody... That's when you're missing in a congregation. That's why it'll never work right. Huh? It'll never work right. I got some teeth missing. All right? Now, I can still eat. Huh? But I've got vacant places. Now, we still got to be thankful, right? Be thankful for whatever we have. It's like the woman, she stood up, she had two teeth. And she said, I want to thank God I got for the two teeth I have. She said, now they meet. Huh? So, everybody, that's how important. Huh? Everybody understand that? How hard would it be to eat if it's different place? But meat, man, you can eat anything, right? I want you to understand that's how important you are. And I don't know that we realize that. We're not saved for this world. We're not saved to prosper in this world. God blesses us and lets us prosper, but it's not for this world. He does this that we might be with Him. To be what He wants to be. You're that important that a holy God wants us. We're filthy. We're wretches. I mean, we don't deserve, and He wants us. So He takes us and loves us, then washes us, and makes us part of His body to do what He needs done to bring Him glory, and in turn going to glorify us. Do you understand that? I hope you can get a handle on some of that tonight, that you're not worthless, you're not trash, all right? You're not junk, all right? You're not dirt. Hey, listen, if you're saved, the Bible don't even classify you as a sinner anymore. He classifies you as a saint. That's how much He looks at you because of Christ that lives in you. Do you understand that tonight? I just want you to understand how great it is to be saved. When we say, man, it's good to be saved. No. What I tell you the other week, that song, it's good. It's good to be. It's good. God is good. God is good. No. Ain't God great? Good ain't a big enough word. It's great. Are we all right with that tonight? So we'll give you three things if I can this evening. Maybe four, but I think it's going to be three things, simple things, just to lay some groundwork to see just how important things are. To start with tonight, the church of God, us, the church, not this building. If we're out in the parking lot, we're still the church. The church met yesterday up there at the airfield. Fund the sun. But wait a minute. The church also met down at Anstead Baptist where I was at a funeral. Huh? And I seen they had some going on at Mike Long's church. Well, the church was down there too. And they was preparing for some, dedicating some property the other day up at Villanova. The church met up there. Everywhere God's people are, that's the church meeting. That's the body meeting. Huh? Are you hearing me? They're going to have, the church is going to meet big time down at Big John Smith next week. Not this week, but next week. Big Jubilee. Huh? Body of Christ down there. Can I tell you, part of the body's meeting out the road here. Huh? Part of the body's meeting up a road here. Part of the body's meeting over in other counties. Saved people meeting, coming together. There's some saved people that couldn't be here, but they're still part of the body. There's some saved people in nursing homes and hospitals, but they're still part of the body of Christ. Still part of the bride. Still in the family. Because they're saved. That's how important you are tonight. Are we okay? First thing I want you to think about is the bride. We're the bride of Christ. How important is a bride tonight? You know that in our life, the bride gets all the attention. Huh? In this life, the bride gets all the attention. Is that not true? Nobody remembers what the groom wore. But we remember what the bride's dress looked like. Huh? Remember if they had a short train or a long train? You know? Remember where they had a big veil or the little top knot or whatever they had, you know? We remember everything about the bride. But who was the husband? They don't care about the groom. Well, can I tell you, in this life, you know who gets glory in this life? The bride gets glory in this life even when the Lord's concerned. Do you know nobody pays the groom no mind? Do you know that? You know, the groom sits in heaven and has all the riches, and nobody pays him no mind, but still the bride gets blessed and built up and looked at and took care of like nobody's business. It's like that in this life. Now, we're going to a place that the bridegroom's going to get all the attention. Huh? But I just want you to know how important a bride is, even tonight. You're important to the Lord. Don't think you're not. Don't think your problems are not important. My problems are nothing compared to some of y'all's problems. Huh? Now, some of my issues, to me, they're the worst in the world. But can I tell you some of y'all's? I'm ashamed to admit them. I ain't even got them. You know what I mean? But I'm still part of the bride like you are. Can we look at a couple of scriptures? Everybody okay with me tonight? Just want to try to let you know that you are something this evening. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Let's look at verse 9. It says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, Come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now, he said, "I'm going to show you that." And then he carried me away, it says, in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the city, the holy city. Now, you say, well, is the city the bride? No. No, the city's where the bride lived. So I'm going to show you who was in the city. The bride is so pure. The bride is so important and so adorned that he wanted to make sure, "I want to show you the bride." We still okay? Let's drop down to verse 24. It says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." In the light of what? In the light of the Lamb that lightens the city, that has the temple, that has the gates and the pearls, the gates and the walls of jasper. "And the nations of them which shall are saved." See, the bride is saved people. Are you hearing me? If you're saved tonight, you're part of the bride of Christ. It didn't say the Baptist. It said saved people. Now, I'm a Baptist because of doctrine and the way I believe. But saved is everybody saved the same way? It's by grace through faith are you saved. That's what the Bible says. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everybody saved the same way. Or you're not saved at all. But it says that the nation of them which are saved, verse 24, shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Save people. The bride of Christ has saved. Are you saved tonight?
Yes.
Talk to me. Are you saved?
Yes.
Been born again. Repented and trusted Christ. Received Christ. You're part of the bride. You're getting glory now. He's blessing. Huh? Go over and read in the Old Testament when they went to get a bride for Isaac. Huh? What was it? The dentist you taught one time, I believe, on all the camels that they brought. When Abraham sent the servant down, and here come all the camels, and you and Rick both, y'all went over that in Genesis about all the provisions, and all the while he was telling the bride, he said, "I'm telling you about the groom," but all the stuff that he took down there to show her. Can I tell you, we are blessed above measure. We got more than we can count. We were blessed. Cheryl Ann sung it this morning. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Huh? And that's what we're getting tonight. Huh? There's people tonight that's suffering, that's hurting, that don't have no hope, don't have nobody to depend on. And we've got someone that walks with us. She just sung, "They carry us." He carries us. Are we okay? Man, that's the bride tonight. How about Ephesians chapter 5? Part of the bride of Christ. Saved. Are you saved tonight?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look here at verse 21. It says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." See how it all comes together? "As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. See, he's comparing the church to a bride. He's comparing us to a bride. He's comparing us to the greatest love, the love of his life. Can I tell you, Cheryl Ann is the love of my life. Can I tell you that I'm the love of his life? You are the love of his life. Huh? When he saw me in eternity past, he didn't see me filthy. He seen me clean. Are you hearing me? He saw me redeemed. Think about that. Ain't he wonderful? He said, yeah, I'll take that one. And if he'll come, I'll take him. Whosoever will, I'll take him. Let's keep on. All right. Verse 25, we still okay? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or anything, but that it should be holy without blemish. Let me stop right there and tell you that he's making us perfect. Without spot or wrinkle, and the things we're going through, he's filing off them rough edges that we fit okay. I think we just sung it, did we not? That we're fitted, being fitted for service above. Didn't we just read that a while ago? Everybody okay? I got to suffer a little bit. Huh? Not to be in the world. Everybody okay? Verse 28. So all men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hath hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's talking about a husband loving his wife, the bride, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church, he said. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Talking about the church. We're the bride. The church tonight. We're part of something. That's why it's important that of what we be and how we act. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? I'm supposed to be the perfect bride. Huh? We okay? Now, Cheryl always fixes up for me. When we was courting, she'd be fixed up, and she was always waiting. Now, I'm going to tell this on her. When I leave now, this ain't nothing against her, but when I'm gone now, my lab gets up on my bed, looks out the window, and waits for me to come home. There was a time she did. When we was courting, I'd pull in that long driveway. They had a long driveway, and I'd pull in the truck, take the truck over and go see her, and she'd be waiting on me. She was never back there getting ready. When I walked in the door, she was there. She was ready. She was waiting. Okay? And she was always happy to see me. Always. When I come in from work, she's always happy to see me. Huh? Now, she wasn't too happy at 2 o'clock in the morning packing my bucket. All right? But she still got up and packed my bucket. Huh? I'm going to tell you what my bride done for her bridegroom. I never took a store-bought goodie. In all the years I worked, I never took a store-bought goodie in my lunch bucket. It was always a homemade goodie. Always. Never took a bologna sandwich unless I requested it. It was always either leftovers or fried cold potato sandwich with mustard or mustard and cold biscuits. I always had cornbread, corn pone. I always had food. I didn't have fast food. Never eat supper at home when I come home without there being biscuits, cornbread, corn pone, or rolls. Not one day. Not one. Okay? Always on the table. If I worked over, it didn't matter. It was on the table when I got home. Now, I know that's talking things that nobody understands because they don't make wives like that no more. One for McDonald's and Wendy's, a lot of men would starve to death. That's another message. But I'm talking about the love of that bride and the place of that bride and that bridegroom. Are you hearing me? And how we're blessed. And we look forward to see. We're a bride tonight. We okay? Okay? How about 2 Corinthians? Hang with me. I'm just trying to Give a little salve tonight. Is that okay? We need a little salve every now and then. One bride, ain't but one bride. I want you to understand tonight, we, you know, we're raised in such a prejudiced place. We're so racist. And we are. We're raised racist. We try not to be, but we're raised racist. That's why we still tell black jokes and Polack jokes and Jewish jokes, because we're racist. That's why. If we wasn't racist, we would never joke about stuff. But we're racist. We was raised that way. But can I tell you that Chinese people are part of the body if they're saved, and Iranians are part of the body if they're saved, and Germans are part of the body if they're saved, and red, yellow, black, and white are part of the body if they're saved, and it don't matter what country they're from or what nationality they're from, that we're all part of one body. Do you know that? There's not but one body, not but one bride. Not but one bride. Not but one bride. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with jolly, godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to what? One husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ain't but one. Ain't but one. Huh? There's one Savior, there's one book, there's one Bible. Huh? There's one body, there's one bride. We okay with that? And can I tell you, it's the bride is not the Old Testament saints. It's the bride from Calvary to the rapture. We're a special people. We're a special people. Washed in the blood. We're the bride tonight. But we're also the body. We're also the body. As a bride and a groom become one flesh, we're part of one body tonight. We okay with that? Yes. Brother Rick was telling us about the presence of the Lord, that we ought to pay attention about living in the presence of the Lord, because He's in us. Right. Do you know that when I got saved, He come inside me, and you know He cannot leave? Are you hearing me? It ain't that He chooses not to leave. He's bound by His word to never leave. He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's what His word tells me. And when I got saved, He come in, and He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I am eternally secure in Christ Jesus because I've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I've received Christ. Are you listening to me tonight? Now think about this. And I'm part of His body. And because I'm part of His body, wherever He goes, I go. And wherever I go, He goes. Huh? Look at Romans chapter 12. Y'all with me? Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verse 3. We'll start. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. That's what we are. We're not just a bride, but we're the body. One body tonight. I'm one body. Listen, we're all connected. Huh? We're all connected. We're all important. You're important to me. I'm important to you. Now, I don't care what modern science says. They'll say, well, you don't need that organ. Well, if I had it to start with, I'd like to go home with it. Huh? I need every organ I got. I probably need something extra. Huh? Because the way I've abused this one. But understand this, everybody's important. Do you have that one point tonight? Everybody's important. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Now this ain't nothing new. Huh? If you read your Bible at all, you gotta read these scriptures. Are we okay? But I don't know that we believe it. I don't know that we live it. I don't know if we live what we are tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start at verse 12. For the body is one. You know why the body is one? Because there ain't but one body. Y'all know that? Ain't that deep? That's why the body is one, because there ain't but one body. There's one bride and there's one body. Huh? For the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. That's why you can't hate your other body parts. Huh? That's why every body part's important. You can't do without every one of them necessary. Are we okay? For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all and been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. All right, we're not one member, but we're one body. If foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Huh? That's a good one for you to mark right there. But God is God. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he hath pleased, as it has pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again, the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. Let me stop right there. Hey, Matt, you miss your fingers? Is it difficult to work without the finger? Don't you wish you had them fingers back? Huh? I mean, you've learned to do without them. But how difficult is it? There's some things you can't do. Are y'all listening? There's some things we can't do because we ain't got all the body. But we learn to get by. But how much easier it would be if we had all the body. Huh? You're important tonight. Verse 22 says, nay, but much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. See, you may lack a little bit. That's all right. Then he'll help us make up for your lack, and you'll help me make up for my lack, and we'll all get along together, and we're one body. And is everybody okay with that? That there should be no schism or division, no party. There should be no schism in the body. That the members should have the same care one of another. We're talking about one body. We're talking about the bride of Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ. We'll give you one more on that and we'll hurry up. I know you're getting tired and you've been busy all day and you've got things to do tonight. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of all the bodies. No, he's just the head of the body. He's the head of the body. The church. Huh? That's us. Huh? Who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Can I tell you, had Christ just died, they wouldn't have been a body. He had to rise. He had to rise or they'd have been a headless body. Huh? Are you hearing me tonight? I want you to understand how important the body is, and that's you tonight. That's you. Can I tell you that the Lord adds in to us as needed? Can you turn over to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. We okay tonight? We're just doing a little teaching, preaching tonight. Acts chapter 2, we'll just read verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That means the body grows. You know, we grow. We grow. Your little babies run around. Me and Cheryl was talking. You know, Hannah just had a birthday this week. My doodle bug had done turned 15. The reason she's my doodle bug, I'll tell you why I call her that. She wasn't but a year and a half old or so. We was riding a four-wheeler in a little hole in the console of the four-wheeler. And she kept diddling in that hole. And y'all remember the game, doodle bug, come out of the hole, doodle bug, come out of the hole. Some of y'all, that's older than a lot of y'all are. And that's why I said, "Are you doodling in there for a bug?" And she grinned, and I've called her Doodlebug ever since then. That's where she got her name. But she's grown. Now, I want you to show. Now, I know this is embarrassing. Her face will turn red, and she's making it worse now as I'm talking about her. But four Sundays ago, she played the piano before service. She played and sang. Now, that's good. So these other ones are doing it too, but they didn't start doing that. They grow. As they grow with talent and they grow with abilities. But she's still part of the, she was part of the body before she played, and she's part of the body. That's how we are. We grow, and the Lord adds to the church, adds to the body as needed. People come in, people say, "Well, it's inevitable." Jerry Givens told me when I first came, he said, "Now, preacher, listen, it's inevitable. You're going to lose people. You're going to gain people, and you're going to lose people." He always told me that. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. He always told me, always trying to encourage me. It's inevitable. I never did like that encouragement. That was my kind of encouragement. People's going to leave. That's my kind of encouragement. You know, you're going to have a tough time. Just suck it up. Be all right. Well, that's what I always, that's the way Jerry Given done me. But you know, it's still part of the body. But you know, there's somebody else that comes in. And they might come in for just a short time. But look what it adds. When they come in for just a short time. And we look at the good instead of the bad. And we look at the blessing instead of the hurt. And we see that that's still part of the body. Though we may not agree. Maybe not. Things don't work exactly right. But can I tell you, it's the body growing. People get saved. The body grows. And then they move along. But it's still different congregations. Are we okay? If we can get past this being one congregation, that this ain't the only one. Y'all listening to me? If we can get past that, that this ain't the only congregation, that if we can get past that mentality, that if they don't come here, they ain't right. Now, if we think that, we're really dumb. We're not learning. We're really dumb. Okay? Can I say it again? Do I need to say it again? Say this. We need to understand that we're all part of the body. If we've believed, the key is not if they follow my leadership. The key is if they've been born again. Are we okay? One body. All right. Now I'm going to show you how important you are. I'm about ready to quit. Acts 20. You're so important tonight. The church. We're talking about the church. Talking about you. Talking about the believer tonight. The believer. You a believer? Huh? Are you a believer tonight? Have you believed on the Lord? You talk to me. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Huh? Let me tell you what He done for you. He put you in the body. You're His bride. Put you in the body. But He done something. Not only the bride of Christ and the body of Christ, but we're the bought possession of Christ. Acts chapter 20. Look here at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the what? Church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Do you know that I'm not worth more in the body than you are? Because the cost was the same. Do you know the cost was the same for me to get in as it was for you to get in? The cost was the same for you to get in as it was for me to get in. It didn't cost a drop of His blood. It cost all of His blood. Huh? Are you hearing me? We're purchased with all the blood of Christ. Equally. That's why there's no big eyes. That's why there are no little U's. That's why the ground's level at Calvary. Every sinner comes, they're just equally lost. And when they leave believing, they're equally saved. They're equally bought by the blood of Christ and equally kept by the power of God and equally transformed by the power of God and equally glorified by the power of God and will be equally reigning with Him because of the power of God, because we're purchased the same. Ain't nobody any better than the other. Now, we eat up with pride and racism and everything. We eat up and we'll run our nose up in the air. We'll run our nose up in the air and we'll birth a better than you and perfect Percy, boy. We're right there. Right? We know all the answers and we judge, but we're harsh on our judgment. We may not say it, but we're harsh on our judgment. You let somebody mess up. We'll run them down till they get to our level. Then we'll get along with them when they sin like us. We still okay? That's why husband and wife have problems. Because one thinks you're better now. Huh? I got a thing. I sent it to the preachers. You know that a dead man don't argue. And he don't boast. Yeah. The Bible tells me, I'm to be crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Huh? He loved me and gave himself for me. He bought me. I'm just one of the possessions. I'm bought with the blood of Christ. Tonight, that's how important you are. Now, let me see if I can bring it down a little further, if I can. That God, the creator of the universe, who needed nothing, who had angels that he created that was around him saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That there was no riches necessary. There was no knowledge to be learned. There was no time to be sought after. For he is the everlasting God from everlasting past to everlasting future. That he has nothing ever occurred to him. That he's all power, omnipresent, omniscient in knowing everything, omnipotent in all power, can do anything, omniscient in being everywhere at once at one time. And he said, "I will make man and die for him and shed all my blood, and I'm going to put on a weak robe of flesh that I'm going to clothe him with. And I'm going to take all of his problems, all of his sin, all of his errors, and I'm going to make him like this, and he's going to fail, and I'm going to die for him." Before he ever made us, he said, "I'm not just going to die, but I'm going to show them how much I love them. And I'm going to put on the robe of flesh that they live in. And I'm going to be lonely like they are. And I'm going to be betrayed like they will be. And I'm going to be lied upon like they will be lied upon. And I'm going to go hungry because some of them will go hungry. And I'm going to go sleepless because some of them won't have no sleep. And I'm going to have my best friends turn against me because they're going to have their best friends turn against them. And then I'm going to go and let them judge me falsely and lie about me. And then I'm going to let them take and peel my flesh off in hunks. And I'm going to let them brutal torture. And I'm going to gladly go and I'm going to say one word. And I'm going to lay down on a piece of wood that I made when I created all of heaven and all of earth. And I'm going to let them take nails that I made and drive in my hands. And I'm going to let them hang me between the heavens and the earth and drain all my blood out just so I can show them that I love them so much to be part of me. That I might be all to them because they're all to me." That's what he done. I think pretty good Savior. Think he might be a pretty good God. What do you think? And you're worth it. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. I don't have to. He does. You don't know where I've been. I don't have to. He does. And he does not reward us according to our iniquities. That's what the scripture says. He does not reward us according to our iniquities, but he remembers that we're but dust. Huh? Ain't that most wonderful? We're the church. We're a bought possession of Christ. Huh? Christ in you, hope of glory. Holy Spirit in you, the Comforter. Us in Christ, one. We're the church. Now, what kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Father, thank you. We love you. Help us. We need help. In Jesus' name, amen.